In a recent podcast, researcher Brené Brown declared with lots of empathy and clarity that most people living in America right now are experiencing a phenomenon she likes to call day two. What Brené is referring to is something that she noticed after years of leading three-day training events. Maybe you've been to this sort of thing for work or school. And what she found is it didn't matter what kind of tricks or strategies they tried out throughout the years, each day had almost like a personality, if you will. Day one had lots of excitement and energy and hopeful grit. People are excited and engaged, ready for the task on day one. And then day three is all about relief and joy and a sense of pride at the task that they accomplished throughout the event. But sandwiched in the middle is overwhelming, challenging, sluggish day two. People are tired and foggy on day two. The task seems impossible on day two. Staying engaged is a fight on day two. After hearing that description, I completely agree with Brené's assessment. I think most of us are experiencing the day twos. We're running low on energy and resources. A deep weariness has come with this historic and cultural moment. Staying the course ahead of us is overwhelming. We're in the messy middle. Very few people are at their best these days. Most of us are some combination of worn out, lonely, and afraid. And when I feel this way, the last place I want to be is with other people. And I love people. I'm an extrovert. I love hugs and crowds and loud parties. But in 2020, my instincts have been completely different. I often don't feel like I have the energy or time or capacity to be with other people these days. I'm lonely. But honestly, isolation sometimes feels easier than relationships. And I know that having relationships, having Jesus-centered community is so vital to my well-being. That truth is fixed and clear in me. But my fatigue and isolation threaten sometimes my ability to pursue and engage with community. Maybe you find that you're in a similar place here. It's a really complex intersection to describe, let alone navigate. But Hebrews 10 actually speaks right to it. And for that, I'm so thankful. So I'd like to look at that together this morning. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There are so many little anchors in these three verses. If we're boats getting knocked around and taken on water in the storms of 2020, these words are like the ropes that keep us docked and afloat. Regardless of what we're experiencing, the hope that we have in Jesus has not changed. Jesus is faithful to fulfill all of his promises. Just a few verses earlier in Hebrews 10, it says, "This is the promise that I will make to them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my teachings in their hearts and write them in their minds." And then he adds, "I will no longer hold their sins and their disobedience against them. When sins are forgiven, there is no longer any need for sacrifice for sin." We get to live in close, free, unchanging relationship with God. And God's teachings, the words of his character and his promises, are imprinted on our hearts and our minds as we are formed by God. Our sins have been forgiven. We don't have to earn that forgiveness. And the day twos don't change any of that. Even when we're low on energy and low on a desire for good things, there's hope. Even when we are messy, there is hope. Even when we've wandered just a little too far away, there is hope. And this kind of hope is way bigger than feeling hopeful. The scripture calls us to hold on to something that's more secure than our feelings. This hope is about the truth and the promises of God. Choosing to trust that the faithfulness of God will prevail regardless of what we see right in front of us. What do you have your grip wrapped around these days? Are you holding on to the hope that Jesus gives us? Or are you holding on to something else? Maybe over-functioning or over-consuming or staying put somewhere on autopilot. Your grip is meant for the hope that Jesus offers, not something else. And when we hold on to that hope that Jesus gives, we remember that we're part of a body. We don't have isolated relationships with Jesus. When we say yes to a life with Jesus, we become a part of the family of God. God gave us each other, and it is our gift and our treasure to be with one another, even when we are messy. The truth is, you don't have to feel like a gift to be a gift to another person. You just have to show up. I watch this happen in all of the groups that I'm a part of right now. I rarely have energy for my groups, and so I'll see them on the calendar and I'll think, I don't have what it takes to sit in that group or to even make it to that group. But what's true is it's really hard to ditch a group when all you have to do is click on a link to get there. And so I show up. And each and every time that I do, I watch the same thing happen. I watch a group of people collect on a screen and spend time with one another. They share and we listen to one another. And that practice of being present with one another is a gift to every member of the group. It's not about what you bring or what you have to offer. It's simply about lending your presence to the other parts of the body in real time. We can't give up meeting together. It's so easy to drift away when the waves are bearing down on us, but we have to stay together on Sunday mornings, in small groups, for worship and prayer nights, in those moments when someone texts and says, "Can you pray for me today?" I know the new constraints are uncomfortable. Online isn't the same. There is less time to be together these days. It's hard to hear one another in a mask. And an elbow bump is a terrible substitution for a hug. I get it. But we have to stay together. We are a body, and we need every part. We're incomplete without a knee or a pinky or an ear. We need every single part, which means we need you. And so it's time to get creative. You know, what I'm struck by in these verses in Hebrews is that it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. It does not say, let us consider if we may spur one another on. Creativity and flexibility is not optional these days. It is necessary. So it's time to think of new ways of gathering, new ways of caring for one another, new ways of calling each other towards Jesus. While there has been so much loss this year, being creative so that we can be together is an opportunity for something new to be born, and that is beautiful. I don't know about you, but my schedule has completely changed since March. Things are no longer packaged into neat time frames in my life. And so my default is to say, I don't have any time for groups or gatherings because it's not the time I used to have. But my small group will not give up. They know that I have 1 hour early in the day once a week. And so they have been incredibly gracious to squeeze our group into that time frame. because me being there matters to them, even over Zoom, even when I have nothing to give, even when life feels really messy. And I'm so thankful for their flexibility because if I'm not connected, it's really easy to get lost. If I'm on my own, I don't always notice when I've wandered too far or when I've become disengaged with myself or with God. And my small group people, man, they encourage me and challenge me. They help me discern what is true and what is not. And they call me back towards right living all the time. And that brings me back to Jesus. And that leads me towards flourishing. When I listen to their stories or I see their observations in the part of the Bible that we're studying, I'm nudged towards Jesus in a way that that doesn't happen when I'm alone. We have to stick together. There is so much that God wants to teach us, form in us, challenge us towards, and we need each other to help us stay the course. I know this isn't the fall that you were planning on, but would you consider committing to two things with me between now and the end of the year? The first thing is showing up on Sunday mornings. Reserve the service time in your calendar. Don't let the Sunday service become another Netflix series that you have to catch up on throughout the week. Keep the practice of gathering and singing and learning and praying together rooted in your Sunday mornings. Stay committed to Sunday morning gatherings. And the second is this: pick a group. Join a group. We have all sorts of small groups happening this fall. Our leaders have been incredibly creative about offering a large span of groups to fit all sorts of schedules and needs and different constraints that we have. It will probably require you to meet some new people and to share a little bit of your life. But a little bit of courageous vulnerability goes a long way. Pick a group where you have to show up, where you have to share a little bit, where you have to listen to other people. Pick a place for you to grow this fall. The messy middle is hard, but God is not scared of mess, and neither is the family of God. He is faithful, and we will live out the middle together.